You are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide.
The most amazing people on the planet I knew were teachers. They saved my life as a child.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance and research-based publications.
Hello everyone, this is Ross at Teacher Talk at the most influential blog on education in the UK. Today I'm with Jazz Ampar-Farr. Jazz, we're going to introduce shortly and talk to her, but just to go back to what the series is all about, 100 Women in Education. 2018 is the centenary of women getting the vote in the UK. Here at Teacher Toolkit, we will be commemorating the anniversary of the next year by interviewing 100 women working in the field of education or in the public eye. In order to catalogue their lives, celebrate their success, find out what challenges they face and discover what they would like to pass on to the next generation. Today I'm with Jazz. Jazz, could you introduce yourself and tell listeners what you do?
Hey, I'm Jazz. I am a resilience ninja. I'm a speaker, an author, and also I'm the British Oprah.
The British Oprah.
That's my new nickname. I think it works.
I noticed that on Twitter recently, yeah. Following your travels in America. So can we just go back to your education background?
Yeah, so...
And your career path.
So I blagged my way into teacher training college because I failed my A-levels and had nowhere to live. And I knew that I wanted to be a teacher, that the most amazing people on the planet I knew were teachers. They'd saved my life as a child. So I managed to get into teacher training college and I started teaching in Key Stage 1. I'm early years trained, early years Key Stage 1. And I got really passionate about literacy because like reading, writing and spelling were my tickets out of poverty. Not just mindset poverty, like physical poverty and mindset poverty. So I'm really passionate about getting this right. And I think it's abhorrent that kids leave primary school education without those skills in place. What are we expecting secondary to do? You've got too much on as it is. So you know, if we do nothing else, it's got to be that. But obviously we get bogged down in stuff. So I looked at how we get those skills established right at the beginning. I looked at phonics, I adapted it to make it fun, to make it enjoyable, and to have really high expectations. And people started coming to me, parents at first, saying, how come my five-year-old can spell better than my eight-year-old?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know, I have a puppet, maybe that's it. But actually it was because I was being systematic about it. And then I had other teachers say, hey, what are you doing? So I started going to other schools. And that's how my training started. And then when, sort of 7 years later, when I got pregnant and had my daughter, I realized I couldn't be the teacher I wanted to be and the mum I wanted to be. So, but I'm passionate about education. So I set up Witch Phonics, my company.
Yeah.
And we started doing conferences and going into schools as a trainer. And really it's kind of grown from there.
What career achievement are you most proud of to date then?
God, that's a good question. Do you know what I'm most proud of? Finally being honest about who I am. Finally marrying up the Jazz who I know I am and the Jazz that I put forward as an educator. Because I knew I couldn't be a leader. I knew I wouldn't be a head because people like me don't make heads. And even as a consultant, I was talking about stuff. Literacy is important, but I never really got into why. And it literally was. That's why this is so special to me. It was at Teach Me London.
Right,
that was the first time I sat there and thought, what if I just told the truth?
That's interesting.
And that incredible, I have literally sat in town protection meetings and kept quiet. I have hidden my past for fear of what people might think of me if I tell the truth.
Yeah.
And at that Teach Me, it was just the atmosphere of people going all out, playing full on for their students. And I'm like, so what if I just tell you you're heroes?
Yeah. Well, I'm and glad it changed everything. A small part
oh,
of
massive,
that.
Massive.
And the story's not finished, as you know.
Well, not yet.
What one piece of advice would you give to teachers to pass on to girls?
Yes.
Maybe hoping to become a teacher or passionate about literacy or sharing your why.
That's really important. I mean, why is critical, why you do what you do. But I think the most important piece of advice is that you need to own your own value. Because if you can't see your own value, you're literally devaluing what other people invest in you. You're literally... So imposter syndrome, which I know is not imposter syndrome if you're actually an imposter, which is how I felt. But imposter syndrome is taking people that believe in you and saying you're wrong. And actually, I think the one thing, I try and be the adult, the teacher that I needed when I was younger.
Yeah.
And part of that is always standing shoulder to shoulder and being consistent in the 2% gain in relationship, just investing in that emotional bank account the whole time, but never taking no for an answer. So my drama teacher, when I failed my A-levels and I had nowhere to go and nowhere to live, asked me, well, so what are you going to do? I said, well, I can't do anything, it's over. She said, well, what would it look like if it wasn't over? I'm like, well, I'd have a place at uni, but I don't have one. So what would it look like if you had a place? Well, I'd have to ring every university in the country. And she's like, great, I'm glad you've got a plan.
And that's just, what you did, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, and she never smiled and she never engaged, but she never stopped believing in me. So it's that thing of challenging, limiting beliefs and behaviour. But if you're a teacher, you better be modelling it first. It's not good enough just to say, be more resilient. You've got to be modelling it. You've got to live that brand for your girls to take it on.
So what does the centenary year of the woman or the vote for women mean to you?
Oh my gosh. I'm a brown working class woman. Like, I shouldn't even be here. You know, I'm on like, there's been a huge mistake and I've come in as a plus one and people haven't realised I'm floating around yet. The fact that only 100 years ago, we weren't even registered as people. I mean, that's enormous. And I know we have the Me Too movement and the Time's Up movement, and this is really important, and the voices are still struggling. But actually, the journey that we've made, you know, this part of me says you have to celebrate. You have to celebrate the small wins. You have to celebrate enormous stuff. And in one way, it's abhorrent that we've only had the vote for 100 years. But in another way, it's a celebration because the victory, the journey we've made and are still making. We've got to look at, like a lot of people spend a lot of time thinking about the last 20 minutes, not enough time thinking about the last 200 years. And when we look about the 100 years that have gone and we think, so where will we be in 100 years' time? And we need to fix our vision on the future.
This leads on to my next question, because, you know, women's lives and opportunities have changed a great deal in 100 years. You know, we just look at the World War I and II and things like that. But so how would you like to see the world in the next 100 years for women?
God, this is really good, Holly. Good questions. You know, one of the things I think about all the time is that when I look in the mirror, I don't see, you know, a BAMED female keynote speaker. I just see me. And one of the biggest things I would love for my kids, for my daughter, for my sons, for me, is just to be judged and accepted on the work I've done, the success I've had, rather than the vehicle I came in.
Yeah.
I would love to just be seen as equal, and the fact that I've got a vagina and breasts not to be counted. And it sounds like a pipe dream. It sounds like as bizarre as me wanting to be a swordfish. But I really believe that we can get there, because actually, I know that I get booked sometimes because I tick the boxes, and I don't care, because I'm going to give 100% value whether they book me because I'm ticking boxes or whether they book me because they've seen me speak already.
Yeah.
So I know my why, and I'm showing up and I'm delivering it. But what I love is that people are having the conversation, and what I hope is that the conversation isn't necessary in 100 years' time. Yeah. So I tweeted the other day, people were saying I can't find any diverse speakers for my conference, and I was saying, you know, that's a bit like my five-year-old when he can't find his school shoes. He looks left and right and says, ninjas must have stolen them.
Yes.
It's not about looking harder, it's about getting really clear about your why and then being smart with it. So my dream, my vision, is that there's no conversation. It's just equal.
Okay, lovely. Name three women you would like to have dinner with.
Oh God, there's so many. Oprah, totally Oprah, because she just kind of personifies everything I still want to be about myself. My 14-year-old daughter, Trinity, she is phenomenal. If I had her emotional literacy at 14, I would be running America by now.
Okay.
So it's got to be parenting. I've got to take ownership for that. But it's partly really good childcare and really good schooling, really good investment in schooling. So definitely those two.
Third person.
I need someone that isn't brown. I don't want a whole room full of women with brown hair extensions.
Dead or alive?
Yeah, dead or alive. Oh, Pankhurst. It has to be Pankhurst. What was it like to stand up? I struggle today to stand up and talk about equality. What was it like then when you didn't even have a voice? Good gravy. Yeah, but then Harriet Tubman and Mary Seacole. I mean, these are also women that I didn't know about till I was 18.
Right, okay.
But so if it was three, Trinity, Oprah and, Pankhurst. Of course, Emily Pankhurst, of course.
Okay, something you've learned today?
Today? What I've learned today is that you don't, and the thing is, your value may not, but this is what I've learned from talking to you actually, Ross. Your value is not always what you see. And sometimes you have to let other people dictate your value to you, and you have to rely on fact, not feeling. Because my brain's a liar. My feelings are, I'm an imposter, I'm not good enough. But fact is, I deliver value and I change people's mindset, which in turn has an impact on people's lives. And you cannot put a price on that. So my value is a perception, and the real value is in the perceived value of what other people take on.
I'm inspired just listening to you. What are you currently reading?
I am reading this fantastic book called The Influence of Persuasion.
Yes, I've read
it. Have you read it?
Yes.
So I read it before, Caldini, and I'm reading it again by Robert Caldini. I'm reading it again because I think I read it the first time and I thought, yeah, but that doesn't apply to me because I'm just
pocket strain and brain strain.
Exactly. Yeah. So now I'm like, no, persuasion is, we're in the business of persuasion, so I'm rereading that now.
Okay, good. So I'd like to look forward to hearing what you say about that the second time around. What would your last supper be?
Oh, food?
Well, food or who would be around the table?
Oh, wow. So I'd want to... What would be on the menu? Oh, it'd be chips.
Would you be cooking?
No, God, no. So I would have someone come in and cook. And it will be for my family and everyone I love. And it would be in Greece on a beach.
Nice.
And we'd have chefs and I would have flown everyone out there. I would have paid for their flight. Nice. And we would all be there together and we'd be eating and everyone would be taking the mick out of me.
Can I come, please?
You can come, of course. You are part of the in crowd. Okay. You're definitely part of the in crowd.
Two more questions. Which woman do you recommend we interview next and why?
Oh, I don't know who you've done, but I would suggest, I've got, there's so many, but one of the women that I really would like to have more of a voice is Claire Erasmus.
Yes.
Because everything she said resonates, but she's still, and if you're listening, Claire, this is for you, she's still at the point where she is not entirely sure of her value.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when this is going out, but I'm sure it'll be news.
Yeah.
She's doing a TEDx talk,
right,
and, and that is, it's critically important. And she has a really strong voice that I have learned so much from. And she is someone that has a lot to say.
Claire follows me on Twitter, so I need to press that follow back button.
Yes, definitely
do. So apologise, Claire, so I'll do that soon.
Definitely do. She's starting a new school soon as well. So
all right,
she's,
great. So where can readers find out more about you? Website, Twitter, ID?
Do you know what's crazy? You can literally Google Jazz Apprentice and find me.
Right, okay.
That's the gift and the course of being on reality TV. But also, it's my name. So it's Jazz and Palfar, and I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Google, I'm on YouTube. I do a video
everywhere.
A day there. I'm literally your worst nightmare. I'm everywhere.
Right, Jazz, thank you for your time.
Hey, my pleasure.
Been very inspiring. You're listening to Teacher Toolkit. You can find out more on our website and follow our social media hashtag using TTKit100Woman. Thanks for listening.
Whoop.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.
You are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents, and students worldwide.